this morning's reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 4, beginning with verse 32. Okay. Today's reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 4, beginning with verse 32. Hear now these words. Now the whole group of those who believed were one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With a great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And there was not any person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold the field that belonged to him, and then brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a man named Ananias, with the consent of his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property with his wife's knowledge. He kept back some of the proceeds and brought only a part and laid at the apostles' feet. And Ananias, Peter asked, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did not remain your own? And after it was sold, were not the proceeds at your disposal? How is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You did not lie to us, but to God. Now when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard it. The young men came and wrapped up his body, then carried him out and buried him. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter said to her, tell me, whether you and your husband sold the land for such and such price. And she said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and died. When the young men came in, they found her dead, so they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard of these things. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This morning, I want to speak to you for a few minutes on givers and deceivers. Givers and deceivers. Sometimes we think, oh, that early church, they had all together, they were perfect. They didn't have any issues at all. And I think Apostle Paul was serious. Said, have you read my letter to the church of Corinthians? That church was a mess. And when we read the book of Acts, we find this book is very honest. It tells us that church was not perfect. They had their disagreements. They had their fights. They had their annual conferences. They had their different opposing viewpoints. But you know, the Lord is still the Lord whether his church is perfect or not. And so it starts off telling us about how at the very beginning they were one heart and soul. And it says, with great power the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Throughout the book of Acts, you see that theme of testifying to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. See, the resurrection wasn't something they talked about once a year on Easter and then put it back in the closet. The resurrection was front and center all the time they spoke. It was to prove that Jesus was the Messiah coming to the world. And it said, and great grace was upon them all. And then it says, there was not any person among them, for as many as owned lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. And they laid at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. So in other words, God's spirit was so big among his people that those who were blessed with extra properties and houses, was sell the house, sell the property. They'd go down to Kraliki or first century homes, I guess. I was going to say 21st. That wouldn't be right though, wouldn't it? And they put the for sale sign, sell it, bring the money down, and put it at the apostles' feet and say, here's the proceeds. And then they would use that to bless people. So in other words, in that other church, no one went hungry because they couldn't work. No one went without decent clothing because they were unable to work. All the widows and orphans were being taken care of. And what does James say? This is true and pure religion, to care for widows and orphans. The fact is, there should not be anyone in need in the Lord's church if they are unable to take care of themselves. Now, if they're lazy, that's a different story. Then that's when we say, you don't work, you don't eat. But for those who cannot take care of themselves, the church has a moral obligation to provide for them, to make sure they're being fed, taken care of. And then it gives an example. We have a Levite from Cyprus named Joseph. And Joseph was so active in this church that the apostles gave him the nickname Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. And throughout the book of Acts, you see Barnabas is encouraging folks. Barnabas was one of the first people who encouraged Paul to be the missionary he was. You may recall Paul, as a Saul, had been out persecuting the church, and a lot of folks didn't want anything to do with him. But Barnabas said, this man has been touched by God. He's God's emissary to a lost world. And he and Paul went on several missionary trips together to the different cities. And unfortunately, Paul and Barnabas even had to fall in gout because of Barnabas' encouragement. You see, on that first trip, Barnabas brought along his nephew, a guy named John Mark. And early on in the trip, John Mark got cold feet and said, I'm out of here, and he left. And so when it came time for the second mission trip, Barnabas said, all right, John Mark, get your suitcase. And Apostle Paul says, no, he's staying at home, I don't want him. And Barnabas and Paul got into a terrible argument about this. Because from Paul's point of view is, we can't depend on him, leave him at home. Barnabas said, this is my nephew, he needs a second chance. Been some encouragement, I'm going to encourage him. And so they end up splitting up. And now the good part is, later on, we see where Paul writes about Mark and says, send Mark to me, he's very useful. So somewhere along the line, he and Mark were reconciled together. And I feel like that is the thing about Barnabas, was he was always encouraging folks, helping folks out. He was the folks, if you came to your job, he'd talk to you, encourage you to do your best, and you were glad to see him come around. You know, some folks, they come around, they lift your spirits. Other folks, they come around, and you're like, oh, Lord, what's she doing here now? You know, just. But Barnabas wasn't like that. He was an encourager. And instead, he sold a field that belonged to him, and then brought the money and lay at the apostles' feet. But Luke, in all his honesty, says, not everybody was a Barnabas. And tells a story about two rascals, a husband and wife team. But a man named Ananias, with the consent of his wife Sapphira, so in other words, they were in this together, sold a piece of property with his wife's knowledge. And he kept back some of the proceeds and brought only a part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Okay? So he comes in and says, here's my money. We sold a house and property here, and here's the money. And then to his surprise, St. Peter says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Now, the only other time that this has come up before is with Judas Iscariot, where John says, and Satan entered the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray Jesus. And he goes on to say, and keep back of the proceeds of the land. And Peter explains, while it remained unsold, did not remain your own? And after it was sold, were not the proceeds at your disposal? how is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? In other words, Peter said, Ananias, the property was yours. You can do with what you want. When you sold the money, it was yours. You can do with what you want. Why did you come in here and try to build a show and act like you're getting all the money? All he had to do was say, here's some of the proceeds of the land sale, and been honest about it. He said, you did not lie to us, but to God. You see, it wasn't about the amount of money that's been in the feet. It's about being deceptive about it, lying about it, about being on the show. And I asked him there, been on a big show, act like he sold a property and gave all the money to the church. In reality, he gave part of the money. We don't know how much, where he gave 10, 20, 30, it really doesn't matter. The point is, though, you cannot deceive the Lord, and you should not be doing that stuff. It should be that what you see is what you get. I remember years ago in the Sunday school class at my home Methodist church, the pastor, Denny Humphreys, was telling about how every year at that particular church, they would do those little pledge cards, okay, which I'm not a big fan of, by the way, but that's the going trend in big churches. But he said something that pricked my ear. He said that when they collect all the pledge cards, they go through it, and he said the first thing they do is start tossing a bunch of them out. Because they look at it and go, that's so-and-so. They always put a pledge card in, and they never give anything. Up, there's so-and-so. She never gives anything. Up, there's so-and-so. He never gives anything. And I was amazed by that. I thought, why in the world would you go to the Lord's house and fill out a pledge card saying you're going to give the Lord's house so much money knowing you're not going to do it? And you've done it so many years that the folks who do the money know you ain't going to do it. And they just toss your card out without even looking at it. It's something about being deceptive, not being honest. To me, it's not about the money. It's more about the honesty. And that's what Peter said. You did not lie to us, but to God. Well, what happens next? Now, when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died. Now, it wasn't that the Lord struck him down. It didn't say that. It just said Ananias heard it, and he just died. It's almost like he went into shock. He was surprised that the Lord knew he wasn't telling the truth. And it says, then great fear seized all who heard it. So here's Ananias. He's coming in to build the shows, and look at all this money I gave. And Peter says, Ananias, why are you allowed to say to trick you like that? The money is yours to do as you wish. Why did you allow Satan to trick you into being so deceptive and dishonest with it? And the shock was so great to Ananias, he just fell down dead. And then I like this part. The young men came and wrapped up his body and then carried him and buried him. In other words, the youth group came up. Okay, that'd be like Clinton, Cadence Maidens, Macy. And those, you take them outside the cemetery and bury them somewhere. And then we have the little irony here. About 3 hours later, okay. So let's say they have them at the 9:30 service. Well, here's the 12:30 service. Here comes the wife. Not knowing what has happened. Remember, there's no Instagram these days and Facebook and texting. And so Peter asks her, says, tell me whether you and your husband sold the land for such and such price. And she said, yes, that was the price. Now, all she had to do was say, what? Well, no, Peter, we actually sold it for this amount, and we're going to keep this much because we got some things for me to do, but the rest we won't give to the church. That's all she had to say about it. But instead, she lied about it. She was being deceitful. Then Peter said to her, how is it you have agreed together to put the Spirit of the Lord to the test? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And immediately she fell down at his feet and died. Now, isn't that ironic? The husband came in and bit me at Peter's feet, and next thing, 3 hours later, the wife is down at Peter's feet and dead. Again, didn't say she was struck down by the Lord. It's like she went into shock and she died. And so here comes in the youth group. They like, great, here's another one. They take her out, bury her next to her husband. And it says a great fear seized the whole church and all who heard these things. Now, what's the point in all this? Is this about how much money you give and such? Well, honey, first of all, the Lord owns it all anyways. Don't worry about that. But rather it's about when we come to church, we need to be honest. We don't need to be big on an act and big on a big show. But we need to come with humility and honesty and say, just as I am, without one plea. Okay? The Lord isn't interested in this and that and this outward stuff. He's looking at your heart. What's going on there? It's what you see, what you get. And you think about how folks can do this today. Folks can come in, act like they got their life all together. And behind the curtain, the lives all messed up. And they're too proud to ask God to come in their lives and do the work. Or they've been on a big show sometimes. But God looks over here and goes, I'm not impressed with that. You know, I'm reminded of the story that Jesus had about Jesus when he was at the temple, when he's watching all the folks come in bend their money. And then the little widow woman comes in, bends on those her 2 pennies, her 2 cents. And Jesus said, that woman's generous. We're talking about Jesus. She only gave 2 cents. He said, yeah, but she gave all she had. You see, the world looks on the outside, but the Lord looks on the inside. What's going on in the inside? This is the inside job. And so this morning, my question is, who are we in this story? I hope we're not like Ananias and Sapphira over here scheming, being on the act, being on the show, doing that little holier than thou routine, and we think, I got the pastor fooled, I got the lay leader fooled, I got the bishop fooled. Well, you might fool all of us, but you can't fool the Lord. That won't work. Or are we like Barnabas, the guy that came in without being on the show and said, here's some money? And more important, he was an encourager. He encouraged Apostle Paul to go out and preach. And when Paul and he had his fallen gal, he encouraged Mark to join him on a separate mission trip. And they keep trying again. Try again, Mark. Let's do it again. You can do this. We have encouragers and givers and deceivers. Yeah. And you know, only the Lord can tell you that. Ask the Lord to x-ray your heart and see what's going on in it. Lord, am I who I'm really am, or I'm just on the show? This really me, or this is smoke and mirrors? And what will happen is the Lord will give you an x-ray, and then what he'll do is he'll work in your life to where saying, I know you want to be that kind of person, and you're not doing that. But by my grace, by my mercy, you can repent, I can forgive you, and put you on the path you can become that person. You know, Ananias and Sapphira, they're here for a few verses, and they're gone. Barnabas, he starts coming up again and again throughout the scriptures. And then John Mark comes up. And then later on, his nephew John Mark writes the Gospel of Mark, the first gospel. You know, there is a great legacy we owe to Barnabas. So my encouragement this morning is not having to do anything about money. That's the side issue. It's about, Lord, what's going on? Am I being legit, being real? Or like that song that came out a few years ago said, am I doing a little stained glass masquerade? I'm booking on a show here at church with all my friends. But then when I go home, I'm in a mess. My friends, you have to live in the mess. God can take that mess and clean up that mess. When you don't have it all together, he has it all together. And you can go through life and be like Barnabas. You can be a giver and encourager, a blessing to others. Thanks be to God. Amen.